Lord, we receive revelation this morning. Father, we ask that every heart here will be flooded with light. We receive revelation, insight into the knowledge of your Son. As we behold the scriptures, we see Jesus open up to us. We see our minds receptive. We see our minds open to receive, to learn, to be informed and be instructed. We ask that this morning we will come to a greater awareness, consciousness, conviction and assurances of our right and privilege in Christ Jesus your Son. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son. Hallelujah. Amen. Alright. So, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 6, Joshua 1, which one should we open to? Look at Ephesians 6, verse 10. Hallelujah. I hope everyone is with their Bibles and writing materials. Hallelujah. All right. So if you're sitting beside someone and you observe the person needs help, as usual, kindly render assistance without distractions. Assistance implies you help the person to find where we're in service. What text are we in? Person is struggling to find the text. Are we together? So keep an eye. Are we together? It just helps to find the text. Also, you ensure that the person sitting by you, you know, is open to the text. When I call a text, then ensure the person by you opens there. Ensure the person is reading. Are we together? Also, ensure the person is writing. Hallelujah. It's your work. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, that means you're also writing. I remember, was it 2016 or 2017? I was in the Saints Community Church. That was Yaba. I went there to meet my father-in-law, and then I had to be there while they had their services. So, I think it was around December period. So Pastor was teaching on evangelism. That was the teaching there. What it means to Jesus, what it means to you, what it means to the devil. Evangelism. So I remember Pastor had called the text. So I sat there. So there was this younger man. I'm a young man. But there was this very young chap who was sitting by me. And then he called the text. I think he called, is it Corinthians or so? So I opened to, I didn't say 1 Corinthians. So I opened to the 2 Corinthians. I think I was right, actually. So I opened to 2 Corinthians. So maybe he thought Pastor had called that 1 Corinthians. And I was 2 Corinthians. So he just jacked me. And shouted at me. He just jacked me like this. Very soft to jab. Just jabbed me. And then shouted at me. He said, 1 Corinthians. No, I said, no, it's 2 Corinthians. He just looked at me like this. Where is this unbeliever from? So when they recalled the text, I've not shared that with you before. So when they recalled the text, I was right. So I didn't bother looking at him because I was angry. I was already angry. Praise God. And, you know, so I left there and I was thinking, wow, what was his eyes doing in my own Bible? He was supposed to open to his. But that's beautiful. Hallelujah. So he was being his brother's keeper. Are we together? And that happens also in Christian meetings. You are your brother's keeper. So don't be so engulfed in eating that you observe the fellow by you is not eating and then you're quiet. The food, the meal goes around. Are we together? Are we together? You know, if there were 6,000 people here this morning, the meal will still go around. This is not the kind of meat. I would say, one jeton. Abiko kari. No. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The meal of the world goes what? Goes what? Around. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The meal of the world goes around. Amen. So if I'm reading from the text, Ensure you encourage someone by you to open to that text if it's not opening there. If I'm teaching and you're taking notes, ensure someone by you is taking notes. Are we together? Are we together? If you have someone by you who have refused to open to that text or is taking notes, just report him. Amen? Just call the attention of the usher. They will know how to handle that. Hallelujah. You know why soon. Amen. If you don't yet know why. Amen. All right. So, Ephesians chapter 6. So, I'm trying to maintain a maximum of 1 hour, 40 minutes. Hallelujah. To 2 hours. Are we together? But not more. In Ephesians chapter 6, and then verse 10. It says, are we in Ephesians 6:10? Let's read together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then it says, my brethren. So he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. Hallelujah. We have seen a couple of words in the course of our study. Right? Right? Alright. I'm trying to arrange, I think, my good this way. So help me with this there. I won't need this morning. Thank you. Alright, this is not large enough. I was trying to, okay. Yeah. I'm good this way. Amen? Alright. So, we have seen quite a number of texts. Last week we looked at the word blessed, right? Father. We saw the word blessed. And then from Ephesians 1:3, look at Ephesians 1:3 again. Ephesians 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Observe the word places is italicized. Hallelujah. So I gave you some text last week to go to, right? What were the words you were to check out for? From those texts? What were the words you were told to check? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What were the words? I told you to check the riches. Okay, I told you to check the word riches. What was the word for riches? I gave you the word for riches. Bluetooth, thank you. What other word? I gave you a word in the Old Testament books. The word Barak. Right? Barak. So I told you to check through Barak, which is translated what? Blessed, isn't it? How many of you did that? How many of you did that? And I see your hand. I want to note those people who did. Let me see your hand. High. High. Higher. Higher. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow. 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 You're lazy. Are we together? You're very lazy. So what do we do? Okay, so let me do what's on my mind. If I do what's on my mind, you know, to take more time. Are we together? Are we together? Just all of you that didn't read it, go to the backyard of the building. When you are done reading it, join the service. But you would have lost some important details. So you are going to make us to go through it. That's what we're going to do. Alright. The word, what other word? I don't just check for the word money, right? Money, right? Right? Don't worry. We're coming back to that study when we look at faith in the gospel. We have been looking at faith in the gospel in its series. Hallelujah. When we look at faith in the gospel again, then you see the importance of those words. Many times, that's how to discern a false teacher. Are we together? Uh-huh. That's how to discern what? Who? That's how to discern who? A false teacher. Somebody who is not teaching the Bible correctly. Hallelujah. Someone who is not teaching the Bible correctly. That's how to discern a false teacher. Look at this. How many times, or the kind of amount, or the amount rather, the amount of emphasis that he or she places on a particular word or term. Many times, can show us whether this person is an healthy teacher or the teaching is an healthy one. Are we together? That's why we look into the epistles. During the week, one of the things I was just studying, I was looking at the number of occurrences. How many times in the Bible did we have the word Christ? How many times in the New Testament books did we have the word Christ? Did we have the word Jesus? And I was just going through. The same word, another word, Spirit, I was just going through. So I was checking Spirit, I was checking Christ, I was checking Jesus, I was checking two other words. Two other words, side by side, I was just going through. So I was flipping each page of the Bible. I was just flipping until I had to take a pause. Are we together? Are we together? That's it. You observe that that word Christ was one of the most used words in the New Testament. So for example, look at this. Look at this. Look at what I'm saying. Someone comes to teach you, and the number of times he mentions the word devil in his teaching is more than the number of times he mentions Christ. That is not an healthy teaching. Did you just see that? Did you just see that? It's not an healthy teaching. At all. Immediately, that just gives it away. Immediately. He just keeps mentioning devil. And it's not talking about those guys who suffered. I think that was yesterday also. I don't know. The news was everywhere. The red devils. I don't know. You know. So he wasn't talking about the red devils. He was talking about devils. Was it yesterday? Well, yesterday that often walk bole. Sorry about that. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't watch, but I hear the news all around. Hallelujah. Hope I've not hurt anyone yet. I'm not added to your injury. Someone said that go and check on all my fans. Just check up on them. They are savage. Hallelujah. So it's just like devil. And it's not referring. And you know, the New Testament, the focus of the Spirit of God in the New Testament is not on devils. Are we together? That's one of the reasons why we check out on those words. For example, you see a preacher comes around and then he's teaching. And in his teachings, you'll find him use, if we check the one, a teaching of 1 hour, not likely, yeah? But let's say 2 hours, 2 hours, 30 minutes, or 3 hours. Teaching. And then in that single teaching, you have the word copies, for example, was used, you know, let's say 50 times. And then you have the word Christ used like 5 times. You already know that's not an healthy teaching. That's not an healthy teaching. Hallelujah. So look at this. As we journey through the books of the Bible, especially the New Testament books, the number of times that the Spirit of God mentions a word means a lot. As for a Bible student, the number of times that the Spirit of God emphasizes a word is very key. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, I told you to also look at the word money, right? Money, riches, isn't it? The word plutus. So how many of you checked the word riches? How many of you went through it? You read through the word riches? Okay, what do you observe? Can we have 2-3 people mention what they observe? Can I see your hand up again? You went through the word riches. Those of us that didn't do it, I'm coming for you by the special grace of God. I won't forget. Okay? So who can tell us what they observe? Can we have a mic? Where's the ushering team? You, well, I don't know. Please step in and do that. Please sit down. Thank you. What was observed, or what did you observe when you looked through the word riches?
Thank you, Pastor, sir, for this opportunity, sir. Reading through the text that you gave us, sir.
I can't hear you.
As reading through the text that you gave us, sir, it was consistently used for the riches of Christ.
You want to first of all tell me how many times it was used? The student here. How many times was it used? 1, 2, in how many verses? 3, then. Who used it? Are we together? That's where I teach, right? If you are not learning that, what are you learning here? How many times was it used? In how many verses? Who used it? It was used in the 4 Gospels. By who? How many times? In the book of Acts, you see I divide all those materials, right? Then look at the epistles. Then you might now tell us some, you know, and now take us further. Don't waste our time. You don't have the statistics.
It was used 18 times, sir.
18 times?
Yes, sir.
The word plutus?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It was used more by Paul. It was used in the book of Romans.
Who has checked that word? And has those statistics? How many times? So you didn't check it. Who else? How many times? 22, not 18. 22 times. Is that the same thing you have? 22. Are we together? 22 times. So who used it most?
Paul, sir.
Okay, Paul used it most. What does that tell you?
That explains to us that to really understand how the word riches is used in the New Testament, you check all the epistles of Paul.
Did you get that? I've taught you that since when? 2017. Alright. That when you have certain words, are we together? Look at this. The person who uses it most will more likely have more insight. You will find more insight in these materials about that word. Are we together? Just go on.
And how Paul used it, it was used more for Christ, the riches of Christ and glory. It was never used for material things except in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17.
It was never used for material things except 1 Timothy 6, 17. Is that true with your observation? Huh? Okay, who else went through Plotus? Who else? You went through it. Is that true with your observation? Okay, what do you observe differently?
In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, it was used not for Christ, it was used for the deceitfulness of riches.
Making it how many times?
That's
2 times. And even in Mark. Was it Mark or Luke?
Mark, sir.
Mark. Are we together? So that means when Jesus used it, because it was used by Jesus in the parable of the sower.
Yes.
So when Jesus used it, it was used for what? Can we say when Jesus used it, was used for material things?
Yes, sir.
Also used in Luke, right? Yes. Chapter 8. Luke 8. I think verse 14. Right? Right? Deceitfulness of what? Of riches. Are we together? Are we together? So those are the three times you find that word plutus used in the synoptic accounts, what we call the four gospels. Are we together? Yes, it was used for material things. Hallelujah. Are we together? But look at this. It was used for how those material things are of no what? Eternal value. Amen. So in as much as Jesus used it for material things, it was seen in how the believer should be careful in their what? In their pursuit. Did you see that? Did you see that? So observe, that was exactly how Paul used it in 1 Timothy 17, right? He used the word what? He used an adjective, uncertain. Again, to depict what is not eternal, what is temporal, what does not have an eternal value for material wealth. So look at this. When the Spirit of God put your emphasis on material wealth, He puts your emphasis on it for a reason. Are we together? The Spirit of God did not put your emphasis on material wealth and instructs you to run after it. Did you observe that? When the Spirit of God puts your attention on material wealth, it is to warn you as to how to be careful in the pursuit and engagement around it. Are we together? Are we together? So, what else do you observe in the epistles now? You see it how many times?
19
times. Okay. And who used it?
Paul used it also, sir.
Paul used it, yes, the 19 times?
No, Paul used...
How many times did Paul use it? Huh? 15 times. Who used it the remaining 4 times? James used it where? James 5, verse 2. And he used it for what? Can you see how to study the Bible? Huh? Some of that people just say, everywhere there is riches. Riches! You just start ruling out in your teachings. No. How did the person wrote it? How did they present it? Nobody ever likes to be misquoted, including God. Are we together? So how did James use it? James 5, verse 1. Go to now, rich men, weep and hold for your what? Miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth eaten. Your gold and silver. Oh, so what did he mean by riches in verse 2? Gold and silver. Did you see that? Now, when he says gold and silver, you know that's not talking about money. That it includes houses, right? It includes cars, right? Clothes, jewelry, right? Ha! Look at this. He says, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Now, who is he referring to? Verse 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your feet, which is of you kept back by what? Fraud. Okay, so he's talking about unrighteous rich people. He's not referring to believers. Are we together? Are we together? He's dealing with, look at this, people who have gotten their wealth through what? Evil means. But look at this, much more precisely, he's dealing with people who trust in the power of their wealth. Is it clear? Is this again a warning or an encouragement? Like Jesus did? Like Paul did in 1 Timothy 6:17? Thank you. So you see how James also used it. So look at the tone of the epistles to material wealth. Are we together? So look at it. You can't be growing in the revelation of Christ in the epistles and be proud because you have money. You can't be. You're not growing. You're not growing. Who else used it? Because by the time you read on, did you understand my submission? The context. Look at verse 5. You have lived in pleasure on the earth. You have been wanting. He talks about greed. You have nourished your heart as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and it does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband man waits for the precious fruit of the earth. So, look at this. He's talking to the church. He takes the opportunity of that to address or to explain the fate of people in the world who trust in riches. Why? Because the riches the church trusts in is not material riches. Are we together? We're going to be explaining this text, the book of James, very soon. Let's just get to some Old Testament teachings. Are we together? So where else do we have the word riches used? Who else used it? John used it. Where? In Revelation. How many times? 2 times. Are we together? Are we together? 2 times. So, I think that's Revelation 5, right? Revelation 5, is it verse 5 or 12? Revelation 5 verse what? 12, okay. Revelation 5, 12. Is it material riches? Is it material riches? Is it material riches? You are not there. Is it material riches? How about Revelations? Revelations what? 12? Is it 12? 18. 18 what? Okay. 12, 17. 18, 17. How was it used? Material thing? Material things? Is it material thing? Okay, is it material thing? Why do you think material thing? Why do you think it's material thing? Because it is to come to naught, material things. Okay, it's material things, but just look at the context. I find the context being a more reason than just a statement to come to naught. Are we together? Start by saying the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stone in verse 12. So you read on. He's talking about material things. He mentions sheep, horses, wine, oil, ointment, frankincense, beast, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, souls of men. 13. In 14, he says goodly, dainty and goodly. 15, merchant of these things, which were made rich by her. He talks about material things, in as much as this was a vision. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How about the word wealth? Did we check the word wealth too? How many times do we have the word wealth occur? How many times do we have the word wealth occur? Wealth. Two times. Where and where? Where and where? So in Acts 19, is it material? And what was said about it? Acts 19:25. What was said about it? That we should by all means have it. Acts 19:25. What was said about it? It was simply talking about occupation. That's all. Right? Occupation. Did you see that? So, is it a neutral text? Is there a warning there? Is there an encouragement there? Is there a warning there? Is there an inspiration there? So it's a neutral text. Are we together? Uh-huh. Where else? 1 Corinthians 10 what? You can readily see there without glasses. Right? What do you observe there, Brother Arnold? The word wealth was what? Italicized. Thank you. So it simply means let everyone seek one another's what? When it says wealth, it means welfare. That's all. Seek one another's welfare. Look out for one another and care for one another. Are we together? Are we together? You know, when it says seek out for one another's wealth, I mean, let us be collecting money from one another. Let's put your eyes into what? No. That would be wrong. Are we together? Are we together? Where else? Money. How many times do we see the word money? Where do we have the word money? We have the word money quite a number of times. You have the word money in 1 Timothy 6:10. And what did he say about it? 1 Timothy 6:10. So the riches of God, is it likely it is money? Is that clear to you now? Are we together? So when we say the blessing of God, is that likely going to be money? Wait, what about when we say the wealth of God? Is that likely going to be money? No. Wealth simply or riches means what somebody has in abundance. Are we together? Are we together? So when it says the riches of God, it means that which God has in what? Abundance. And it's not money. Let me tell you, God does not have money in abundance. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? For example, look at it. Of all the central banks in the world, none of it is beside God's throne. So the activities of money in making it plenty or reduced, scarcity and abundance of money resides amongst men, not God. Is it clear? So you only need a false teacher to come and tell you that when you sow 50k, hey, 24 hours miracle, the Lord will open the gates of heaven and it shall rain. The only gate of heaven the Bible talks about is the cloud that rains. That's all. That cloud. Is it clear, church? Is it clear? Is it clear? Are we together? I have told you before that. What's Pastor saying? He's Pastor trying to say that does God now don't want us to have? I said that's a fried brain question. It's a fried brain question. You know I told you about scatter brain. It's also fried brain. Are we together? It's a fried brain question. So does that mean God doesn't want me to have? If he did not want you to have, he will not give you a brain. Let's start there. So look at this. Many not having is the issue of what? Not using. Not using of what? Rain. Are we together? Not using. Not God. Abba, prosperity. Prosperity. That's another word we should check. Or prosper. Prosper. If you look at the epistle of John, 3 John verse 2, everybody. John verse 2. Can we read together? Want to go? Beloved, I wish above that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prosper. Don't say, oh, prosper here means money. I wish that you have money and be in health even as you also have money. Hallelujah. I wish that you have car and houses and clothes and be in health, even as your soul has house and car. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Emergency Bible teachers. He says, I wish above all things. Above all things, you know what above all things? The Bible says above all things. He says, okay, wait. Above all things, including salvation. Yes! You are just a thug. A spiritual one. The Bible John, an apostle of Jesus Christ, if someone else said that, we might still say, Where? But John! So John will say, I wish that above anything else, you should have money. Above salvation too. The guy said yes. Say, there is a, what do you call ikme? In your eyes. Are we together? Look at that text again. I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in what? Health, even as thy soul what? Prospers. Look at verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love were in the truth. Now, look at this. Try something. Try to take verse 2 away and just read 1 into 3. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, for I greatly rejoice when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to what? So, look at this. What is he telling him? John, is he praising him? Does this sound like an affirmation, expression of trust and confidence in someone? So, when he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Walking in the truth there, is it likely that is what he means by to be in health? So the health in verse 2, will it be natural health, bodily or spiritual health? Christian walk? So is that also likely going to be what he means by prosper? So the prosperity there is talking about what? A healthy Christian walk. Did you see that? Not money. Are we together? prosperity there. And see, this is John's words. I told you something in Bible study. Know how each writer speaks. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. So you see that Acts 4:37 is funny. Barnabas, right? So is it Barnabas? Well, it was a common, it was referring to a common practice. Acts 4:37, a common practice. He says, okay, Barnabas, yeah, Barnabas. But you see verse 34 was a common practice. Then 37, he says, a Levite, Barnabas, having land, sold it and brought the money. So how they brought money to the church. In Acts 7, verse 16, Stephen, Acts 7:16, it says, they were carried into Shechem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money. Are we together? Can you see how it was used? Neutral text. Very neutral, sincere text. Acts 8:18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. What did he now say? Verse 19. Give me also this power. So he wanted to sow seed to get the things of God. So what did Peter say? He said, you will perish with your money. Some of our preachers need to hear that. Are we together? He says, Peter said unto him, thy money. Okay, he mentioned money first. He now said him. Sorry. May I mention him first and I mention money? But whichever is the same thing. He says, thy money perish with you. Oh, money is with him. He is perishing first. So he says, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now, Peter was angry. Are we together? Peter was angry. Because the next statement, when he says, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Well, he actually, and that one matter there is word utterance. He says, you have no business in this speaking. What was the speaking? The laying of hands for utterances. So he told the man, he said, you have no business in this speaking. He was just angry. The man had business. The man was a believer. Are we together? But it was an example of a Christian that is not taught. So he wanted to offer money. Most likely, look at this. That is what he has been doing. For the supernatural powers he had, he would collect money from people. So when he saw a greater power, he felt like, let me adjust. We'll deal with this in our second session. Are we together? Coming on this. Are we together? So Peter had to correct that. Acts 24:26. That was when Paul to bribe. Acts 24:26. Are we together? He hoped also that the money should have been given to him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent him the offer and commune with him. So he kept on sending someone to him, and all that. That was Felix. Are we together? In John 2:14 and 15, again, a very neutral text on money. So, see, you can never read through the Bible. Are we together? Look at me. A man can never read through the Bible sincerely and become, what word do I use now? You become inspired to have money. You will not be discouraged to have it either. Are we together? But that inspiration to have material things is not from the scriptures. The inspiration of the scriptures is clear. Are we together? it will inspire faith in the gospel. The experience of the new birth and development, having received the new birth. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, no sincere study of the scriptures will inspire greed. No sincere study of the scriptures will inspire grace to have. And look at me, church. No sincere study of the scriptures will make you feel bad for not having. No sincere study of the books of the Bible will make you comfortable. Are we together? For having or comfortable for not having. The drive to have comes from the world, which is not bad. You should have. And when you have, definitely, we are also able to support the work of God. So it's good to have. Are we together? God wants you to have. Are we together? Are we together? But you will not be driven just because you studied the Bible. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, what are that word? Barak, right? Now you guys want to do me something bigger. I told you to go over that text. Please have your seats. Please have your seats. Please have your seats. The word Barak. So how many times did that word occur? Up. How many times did that word occur? The word bless. Hallelujah. So in Ephesians 1:3, when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Just remove anything material from there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We saw the word eulogio, eulogia, eulogitis. Hallelujah. So look at this. In the Septuagint, which will be the Greek text of the Old Testament books of the Bible, the word eulogia, are we together? Is translated, or eulogio is translated Barak. Are we together? So you have that word Barak. So you keep on reading that word throughout the entire books of the Bible. So if we go over to the foundational material to study. Now, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where will Paul take that statement from? Blessed be God. Where will Paul take the statement from? Will that be the words of Melchizedek? Blessed be what? The God of what? Abraham. I showed you. Genesis 40. Blessed be the God of Abraham. So, that word, blessed be God, came from Genesis. Are we together? That's where it came from. So, observe, I told you that Genesis will be a foundational material, isn't it? Isn't it? An Exodus. Those will be in the entire law, but much more precisely, the book of Genesis. And in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. These materials, maybe into three, will be foundational in the teaching and the practice of the Christian faith, in the theology of God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Or in Bible theology, when it says theology of God, that will be sophology. Theology already means the study or the knowledge of God. It says it, of God. Hallelujah. So it's just a Bible theology. We'll look at that in our IOTPs. I'm a set. Hallelujah. So, look at Genesis 1. Quickly, let's do something. Oh my. Now we have quite a number of work to do. And I want to stick to time. Genesis 1. Are we there? Verse 22 and verse 28. Can we read together? I want to go. And God blessed them, saying... Look at verse 21. Everybody, want to go? And God created the whales and every living creature that moveth with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every wind fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying... So look at this. Can we say the blessing was a speaking? The very first time we see a blessing in the Bible, it was what? Look at this. Via speaking. And in fact, it was a speaking. Are we together? So, he blessed them, saying. Now, that wasn't the first time God would say. You observe that? In Genesis 1, in verse 3, God said, let there be light. In Genesis 1, verse 6, God said, let the firmament bring forth. In verse 9, he said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. In verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth. Did you see that? So, in verse 14, God said. So, he kept saying. But look at verse 22. And God blessed them, saying. So, look at this. Words. The blessings, therefore, will be the things spoken. Amen. For example, today if I say, oh, I bless God. Have I given something to God? No. What have I done? I have rather spoken well of God. Is it clear? So, what is the well speaking that God said? He said, in verse 22, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl what? Multiply in the earth. Look at something. Look at verse 21. Let me expose something. And God said, and God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth out abundantly. Hallelujah. So look at this. The blessing of God, are we together? Was it that God said, multiply, or God simply affirmed what he has done? You didn't get that. Did the animals multiply after God said it, or they came forth in abundance? And then you say, hey, sir, boy, it's not animal. I know. But look at that text. Are we together? The creatures here, so let me not use the word animal, let's use the word creature. The creatures here, are we together? Did they multiply because God said it, or it came out in abundance? In abundance. So what did God now say? So God now affirmed what he had done. Look at it. And that affirmation, the Bible refers to it as what? As blessed. So again, blessing there would not mean empowered to prosper. Remember where we are coming from. God had already done the work. Are we together? Then he simply what? Affirmed what he had done. Amen? Verbally, as it were. And that was a blessing. Is it clear? The saying did not make the creatures to increase. Hallelujah. The saying was to affirm what he has done. Look at this. What he has done in itself, are we together, is an increase. Hallelujah. What he has done in itself is what? An increase. Now, if you have been following our teachings, you will not find that difficult to understand. Are we together? Let the earth bring forth fruits or grass. How did they put it again? Genesis 1, 11. Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit yielding seed after its kind. So, it now says, and the earth brought forth grass. So, we saw grass, right? Seeds in all the earth, right? So, look at this. What God created itself is an increase. What he said is not what will bring increase. Is it clear? What he said, rather, is an affirmation of what he just did. So that is what is called blessing. Genesis. Did you understand that? It's likely you might not see that as you read through. So that's why I'm explaining again. Let me see if we can move faster. In verse 28, in 27, or in 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Hallelujah. 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the world, the earth. Hallelujah. So when it says be fruitful and multiply, it says replenish the earth and subdue. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So look at this again. God creates man. He says, and he blessed them and said. Two things. Number one, the blessing were what? Speaking. Hallelujah. The blessing was words. God said. He blessed and said. Hallelujah. Again, if you have been following my explanations, you will observe that man in the image of God, when it says God created man in his image, it will be better translated as God created humanity in his image. That image will be Christ. So Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28 will be humanity in Christ. Hallelujah. Which is already an increase. Which is already a replenishing. Are we together? Are we together? Which is already a subduing. Through the creation of man in the image of God, the image of God is already subduing. That is already a replenishing. Hallelujah. That is already a dominion. So when he says, and God blessed and said, the saying, are we together, is not what made him the image of God. The saying is not what makes him to replenish. The saying, rather, is an expression of what God has just made. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So God verbally expresses what he has done. And that was the blessing. To speak well of something. Hallelujah. So in Genesis chapter 2 verse 3, it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. So what was the blessing of the seventh day? What does it mean to sanctify? To set aside. So he proclaimed that day separate. That was a blessing. Did you see that? Did you see that? He proclaimed that day as separate, sacred, and that was the blessing. Genesis chapter 5, and then in verse 2, male and female created them and blessed them and called their name what? Adam, in the day when they were created. Did you see that? He called their name Adam. Adam there means mankind. He called their name mankind. Hallelujah. Mankind. Are we together? So God referred to that creation. Look at this. Look at this. God refers to that creation as mankind. That was a blessing. So he separates this creation from animals. Are we together? He separates this creation even from supernatural beings. He separates this creation. He calls it mankind. Whatsoever mankind means to God. Are we together? An office, a functionality. So he separates this creation. He calls it mankind after the order of his plan. So that separation, are we together? Are we together? Appellation, whatever it is, that's the blessing. This is a separate creation. This is mankind. Hallelujah. That was the blessing. Are we together? He created them and blessed them how? He called their name what? Mankind. Now when he says he called their name mankind, God is saying you shall be man. No? Are we together? That's just a language. Mankind, are we together, has been explained as a function that humanity occupies around God. It's an office. It's an office of God's call, office of God's plan on the earth. Are we together? So proclaiming man into that office, what he calls mankind. Are we together? It's the blessing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Genesis 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said, again, be fruitful, multiply, and what? Replenish the earth. Are we together? Are we together? That's simply a repetition of what we have in Genesis. Why? Because what God intended to do, are we together? Through humanity, beginning from Adam, he now finds Noah again to continue the work. So the statement before and multiply again to Noah, just like to Adam, it is not earthly increase. Are we together? It is not childbirth. The same with Noah, it is not childbirth. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Ha. So in what's the next one? Chapter 9 verse 26. It says, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. You see that? That quickly gives it out. It's not a material thing. Genesis 12 verse 2 and 3. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. This is the foundation of what we call the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. I will bless them that bless thee. I've explained this to you, right? When it says, I will bless them that bless thee, I will speak well of those who speak well of you. Hallelujah. I will cause them that cause thee, I will not speak well, or I will reject those who reject you. Why? Because what they are receiving or rejecting is God. Are we together? To abandon Abraham will be to abandon God through Abraham. Is it clear? Is it clear? We see that later in Galatians 3 and Galatians 4. It says, we that have believed are counted righteous with faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. Genesis 14, verse 19 and 20. It says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. Oh, so he blessed him and said. Do you see that? It says, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered an enemy into their hand, and he gave them tithes of all. It's very key that the blessing of God to Abraham was not the deliverance of enemies to his hands. No. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham, the blessing of God to Abraham, rather, will be in the things that God has said about Abraham. Hallelujah. God's affirmations about Abraham. Look at this. And that tells you something. Look at this. The fact that God says good things about you is a blessing. That's the Bible. Are we together? The Bible says, you look at heaven and earth. Look at heaven and earth. You see material increase. You see goodwill from men. Are we together? Are we together? What else do you see that is good on the earth? You see material wealth. You see, you know, sometimes when people surround you and they are running and flocking after you, we can say that's a blessing. Are we together? Are we together? Sometimes when you are known and your fame has gone everywhere, we can say that's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't it? Well, look at it. The Bible says, you look at heaven and earth and observe amongst men what men calls blessing. He says, hey, look at this. When God has spoken well of you, it is the greatest. That's what he says. When God bears a good record, are we together, of you, he says what? It is a blessing. Do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because John said precisely in Revelation 5, he says, we were created. Hallelujah. For what? His pleasure. Are we together? Are we together? You and I were created for what? God's pleasure. So when he bears a good witness of you, oh, you're of all men most blessed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's it. So man is going to find identity in the words of his God, of God. Praise the Lord. Man will find identity, fulfillment. Man will find confidence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In what? In the words of God. Hallelujah. So much blessedness. So he says in Ephesians 1, blessed be God who has blessed us. And where the things he said. Hallelujah. It's like you have a 3 or 5 year old boy goes out there, play. Maybe you have a tournament in school, and then maybe he didn't play well. So all the friends, they were booing you, and all that. Are we together? the commentator spoke ill of him and all of that. Discouragement all around. And then, just as he's coming back, the coach, are we together? Who really bears the blame for his creator? Are we together? Are we together? Opens his arm and embraces the child and says, I'm proud of you. Wow. And then immediately, all the feelings of pressures, discouragement, everything does what? Grows dim. Sublimes in the embrace, in the words. So, look at it. It's like the one who matters most has spoken. Let every other person be what? Be what? Be quiet. The king has given his comment. Look at me. Look at me. Everybody on the field said, wow, you're doing well. You're nice. Wow, this is excellent. We have not seen this before. Wow, this is the best performance of the century. On the stadium before the king, because he came to entertain the king, and then the king says, go and behead him. Say, I'm not pleased. He fumbled. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? No, not the king in 2022. Not the king. You know the king in 2022. You just, one governor will just say what? They will just send SAS to go and release you from the king's hand. I'm talking about when king was king. Are we together? What do you think will happen? Or the king just say, maybe the king is in a bad mood. Just say, what is this nonsense? You were doing like this before me. I'm putting him in prison. What are they going to do? Huh? So the one who matters most has spoken. Hallelujah. So look at this. You were created for his pleasure. The Bible makes us to see that what God has said supersedes what man has said. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when God declares a man faithful, who can defend, who can declare him unfaithful? Who can declare him unfaithful? Hallelujah. When God declares a man righteous, who can declare him unrighteous? Huh? So God says righteousness will be by faith. So the one who believes is now declared righteous. And that is the blessedness, the blessing of God. Did you get that, church? So man is meant to find full joy, contentment, contentment in the word spoken of him. Hallelujah. Of God. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Genesis 17. So far, have you seen any material thing? Genesis 17. So, see, the problem is that, look at me, everybody. Look at me. The problem is that a lot of people are idol worshippers. And even though some people get born again, they are still not able to rid their minds of that idol worship. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. They are not able to. They are not able to. They are not able to read that influence of idol worship
of their mind. Where we have found confidence, fulfillment in other things, we have judged essence and value with other parameters rather than what God has said. What God has said. What God has said. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So a man loses his joy because some earthly benefits are not there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Even though God's word has been brought to him, and then it still makes no difference. It makes no difference. That's an idol worshiper. Are we together? Are we together? Look at this. God's word revolutionizes everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say God's word. Someone say God's word. Now, have you ever seen someone say something like, ah, but maybe some two people are talking, the other person now said, but so and so person said, one of them said, but so and so person said, the other person now said, who is so and so person? Are we together? In other words, easy. So, his words are not weighty because himself is not what? Someone to be reckoned with. So, when we say somebody's word, the first thing that applies, the first thing that appears in your mind is that person itself, the character. So, when we say God's word, it's not going to have any sense in your mind when you don't know God himself. You don't know God. Are we together? Are we together? You don't know God. You know the governor of the state? You know the president of the country? But you don't know God. Hallelujah. Say, I know God. Say, I know God. That's it. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He is your father. Amen. So, I find confidence in the words of God. In Genesis again, 17 verse 16. He says, verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Verse 16, I will bless her and give thee a son also of who? Of her. Yeah. So look at this. It looks as though the blessing, are we together? Is that what? She'll be given a material thing, right? Right? Which is a son, right? It looks like that's a blessing. But read on. Read on. I will bless her, and she shall be what? Kings of people shall be for what? For her. So wait, let me ask you again. Will the blessing ever be that son? Or the influence? Are we together? That the son is going to bring. Did you see that? So the blessing again will not be Isaac. Hallelujah. Rather, the blessing will be that through Isaac, the promises of God will be what? Will be fulfilled. And Isaac will come through her. That is the blessing. Lizzie, oh, I'm going to give her a very intelligent son that will bring her money. No. Are we together? Are we together? I will give her a son. And look at this. My promise of blessing the whole earth shall be fulfilled through the son. Simple. So the blessing will be in that genealogy, not in the son. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? So, can I trust you to go through each of the remaining texts this way? I'm suspecting you. Can I see? I'm even suspect. Let's go over it. More people now looked up at me. I was suspecting. Verse 20. What's in verse 20? Can we read verse 20 together? I want to go. And as for Ishmael, I have had the behold, I have blessed him, and I'll make him what? And we what? Exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a what? Again, influence. Now look at verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall what? Bear. Did you see that? So the blessing of Sarah is that through her, the covenant of God is being established. Not even the son. Because the son can be useless. Are we together? Are we together? But at this son, through him, my covenant will be what? Established. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So, what did he say about Ishmael? I will extend. So, he will extend that influence also to Ishmael. So the blessing here is influence. Influence of God. And the promise of his son. Genesis 18, verse 18. Are we there? See that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be what? Blessed in him. Hallelujah. All the nations of the earth. Now, definitely, you just any intelligent person knows that that's not a material thing. Nations are poor today. Are we together? Are we together? Including Israel. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Where else? 22 verse 17. Genesis 22 verse 17. 22 verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Are we together? So that is the blessing. The blessing is in the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3 shows us that the seed of Abraham was not Isaac, but for who? Christ. In other words, Isaac is not the recipient of that promise. The seed of Abraham, which is the recipient of that promise, is not Isaac, but Christ. Hallelujah. 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Did you see that? Okay. So he called faith obedience. Genesis 24 verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all these things. And Abraham said unto his elder servant, he says, of his house, thou that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. So he began to talk about bringing a wife for his son. Now, in Genesis 24 there, verse 1 was simply a commentary. Are we together? But we know that the blessing of Abraham, are we together? Now, it says Abraham was old and the Lord had blessed him. Are we together? In other words, we'll see a part of the promise of God being fulfilled. Abraham was at the exit point. Are we together? Are we together? So when he says he has been blessed, it would imply that Abraham had seen, look at this, the promise of God fulfilled to a large extent. Now, I said to a large extent because the promise of the old earth being blessed in his seed, are we together, has not been fulfilled. But the fact that the son Isaac has come forth, we can already say Abraham has received the blessing of God. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So you read verse 11 also. Verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city. And the well of Genesis 24, verse 11. Okay. In 27, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house. So he says, blessed be the Lord. Are we together? Blessed be the Lord. In verse 31, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Fortunate of the Lord. Then in verse 35, and the Lord had blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he had given him flocks and herds. So look at this, the flocks and herds, and silver and gold, and men servant and maid servant, and camels and asses, is not the blessing. The blessing rather is that he has become great. Are we together? Are we together? Which is the blessing of the gospel? In verse 29, chapter 20. Okay, look at verse 48 and verse 60. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Verse 49. Okay, verse 60, he says, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands and millions. So they wished her well. Are we together? Are we together? And that was a blessing. He's in words again. In words again. So, I will stop here because of our time. Are we together? So go over and over. Do that study yourself. Is it clear? Look at this. The conviction and skill that teaching you gives you is not the same as you studying, is what you studying gives you. Is it clear? The conviction and the skill in teaching and explanation that teaching you makes available to you is not like the one your study gives to you. Both are not the same. Are we together? Both are not what? The same. You cannot get the latter without the former. That's why we teach. But after you have been taught, you need to go back and what? Study. Are we together? The conviction and the skill with which you are going to walk in, with which you are going to be able to walk in the truth, with which you are going to be able to bless other lives, is gotten from your own study. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So do not replace a personal study with teaching meetings. And don't replace the teaching meetings with personal studies. It would be dangerous. So go and study. Because of our time. So as you read those texts in Genesis, cross-reference it with Galatians 3 and Galatians 4. I think I said that last week. Cross-reference it with Romans chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 5, 6, and 7. Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 5, the 6, and chapter 7. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you see the word Barak, you see the word Plutus, you see the word Akoi, something like that. You see Akuo or so Akuo. That's the word money and all that, and then prosperity also and all that. Are we together? So let's get back to our text, Ephesians 1, quickly. So the written word keeps you grounded. Are you with me? Ephesians 1 verse 3. Are we there? Are we there? So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ. Hallelujah. So we said the blessing is what God has said, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? Let's go over that one more time. In verse 4, he says, we are chosen and without blame in him in love. In verse 5, he says he has predestinated us as sons by Jesus Christ. In verse 6, he says the blessing is that we have been accepted in the beloved. In verse 7, he calls that blessing God's forgiveness, redemption through his blood. In verse 11, he says we have obtained an inheritance. Hallelujah. According to the purpose of him that worketh all things, the counsel of his own will. Verse 13, he says, he has sealed us with the word, the Holy Spirit of promise. So blessed, he says in verse 3, who has blessed us? He didn't say who will bless us. Who has blessed us, and then by the use of a past tense, it means this is what God has done for the church in Christ. Observe, I said, for the church. Us. This is what God has done for the church in Christ. This is what he has spoken concerning the church. He has spoken well concerning the church. Hallelujah. How did Moses put it again? Moses said, and God created man in his image, after his likeness, created he, and said, he blessed them, and said, be fruitful, multiply. He says, subdue the earth, have dominion. Hallelujah. He said, when God created man on the sixth day, he saw that it was very good, and he blessed him. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 6, everybody, look at Hebrews 6. Listen there. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, and then in verse 14. Look at what he said to Abraham. In verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will what? Multiply thee. Hallelujah. So, there was a promise given to Abraham, and then in Galatians chapter 3 verse 9, what do we see that promise? The blessing of Abraham in Galatians 3 verse 9. Galatians 3 verse 9, he says, so then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Again, He links the word promise, blessing, and spirit. He links the word promise, blessing, and spirit. And he brings in Abraham, hallelujah, as the source. Promise, blessing, and spirit. Promise, we see that in Genesis. Blessing, we see that in Genesis. Then it says spirit. So how did spirit occur in Genesis? We've seen that, the land. Right? Right? That's been our story. The land. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1. Hebrews 7 verse 1. He says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, he blessed him. Did you see that? He blessed him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Again, these are words. In verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. He spoke well of him who had the promises. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He spoke well of Abraham who had the promises. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is spoken well of the better. Hallelujah. In verse 20, so we see how those words were used. In verse 20, he says, and inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. He says, for those priests were made without an oath, but these with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art the priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I didn't get that text here. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 21. Hebrews 11, 21. It says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Blessed both the sons of who? The sons of Joseph. You see that in Genesis 48, verse 3, verse 9, verse 15, 16, and 20. One of those texts. Hallelujah. I've given you already. Amen. Have we observed the word Makarios? Have we observed it? Did I give you the text on Makarios? I did not. So write the text down. Write the text down and go over it. Makarios will be used 29 times. 29 times. Hallelujah. 29 times. Okay. So I was just checking my statistics. Who used it most? So 29 times Makarios was used. In the four Gospels, it was used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, Matthew 11, verse 6, Matthew 13, verse 16. We have in the Sermon on the Mount. Are we together? It's Matthew 5. In John 13, verse 17, John 20, verse 29. Acts 20, verse 35. And I want you to see that word. Are we together? Can we read together? Acts 20, 35. I've showed you, I will take together Acts 35. Everybody want to go? I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now let me ask you a question. Where did Jesus say this? So definitely someone said that
Paul spoke to Jesus. Jesus spoke to Paul in a revelation, in a vision. No, don't go into all those useless stuff. Are we together? Are we together? No. So look at that, verse 35. When he says, the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, I've explained this to you, right? That this was what? An hermeneutics, right? A summary of everything Jesus taught around having and being a blessing materially to one another. So when he says it is blessed to give than to receive. Are we together? Observe, he didn't say when you give, are we together? You will be more blessed than the one who receives. Because that's the way we have read this. He never said that. Are we together? Anybody, including God, knows that when you give something else, especially something material, the giver now has less. Simple. Are we together? Are we together? You know, this is not candlelight. They say, when you share the candlelight, your home will not go out. Money is not candlelight. Now, if you treat money like candlelight, now you know. Are we together? Are we together? When I give a material thing out, the one who receives has, right? The one who gives now has what? Less. Isn't it? So there's nothing supernatural about it. So for example, I'm not getting and I'm giving. What's going to happen after some time? I will not have again. It's simple. It's simple. There's no supernatural thing about it. Are we together? There's no supernatural thing about it. The way to have is to work. Right? Exchange value for value. Exchange time and skill and energy and brain and intellect for money. Simple. Not go to the mountain. No. So I'm on the mountain morning to night. Oh, woo! And then after 6 hours, just check your pocket. You are going to trek home if you did not go to mountain with transport fare. Are we together? At best, a miracle happens and a bike man takes you free. But look at this. Not that he picks you and then takes you in front of your house and says, Ewa, and he removes his entire money that he has made and still give you. Can't God do that? You are a thief. Do you know why you are a thief? Because your expectation has gone wild. You would have been healthy just by thinking, someone just give me a lift. But the moment your thought exceeds into, after I have dropped, he now does this, you know, or you are walking, you are now thinking, can't tell you back, Google. God doesn't bless people that way. Did you get me? Did you get me? God doesn't bless people that way. Let me just see a wallet with hard currency. God doesn't bless people that way. Are we together? Are we together? That's not God's way of having another person's predicament. No. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Many times when you are thinking of how to have, just put yourself at the other side too. Is it clear? Let me drop it there. Hallelujah. So you see Makarios. So when he says it is more blessed, it is more fortunate. Is the word Makarios, not the logio. It is more what? Fortunate. Hallelujah.
Are we together? To be the one who is what? Making available than the one who is what? The one in need. It is good. Not a supernatural proclamation of God's blessing. No material supply implied. In the epistles, Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom God imputes what? No sin. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are covered. Hallelujah. Talking about the work of salvation. He didn't say blessed is the man who covers his tracks when he has done something wrong. No. Hallelujah. When he says whose iniquities are covered, it is because God has washed it away. Are we together, church? In Christ. Romans 4 verse 7 and 8. Romans 14 and 22. Romans 14 and 22. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 40. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 7 and then in verse 40. It says, the wife is bound by the law, verse 39, as long as she her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Now, this was Paul's teaching concerning widows. Are we together? In the church. You say, kill your husband and go and look for somebody else. So, why is a Christian? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Because you're joking. Hallelujah. Verse 40. Verse 40. It says, but she is what? Happier if she so what? Look at that. She is fortunate if she abides alone. If she remains unmarried, she is fortunate. Hallelujah. As all of us might not agree with that. So I don't agree with that. You don't have a contrary explanation, but you just say, amen, it is well. Hallelujah. You must, if you don't understand what Paul is teaching, you feel that way. Are we together? Paul is actually saying that to be unmarried, are we together, serves the Lord more. Why? In that, the distraction and the care of a spouse is not there. That's just it. Are we together? And that's part of the beauty of singleness. That's part of the beauty of singleness. Even if one is going to get married, the period of singleness is so much a beauty. Hallelujah. I remember there was a sister like that. I was just, causing commotion everywhere. After a conference like that, I just approached the pastor. I said, ah, sir. Says, I need the comforter. The pastor was like, the conference, we just thought on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, no, it's not that one, not that one. Another comforter. He said, but Jesus said, another comforter. He said, not that one again. another special. You need a special comforter, yeah. Until she was comforted out of the church. Idiot. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that's just by the way. Amen. Amen. So let's get back into our story. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3 again. Are you learning something? Okay. So he says blessed. So we said that's a past tense work, right? Right? So when it says blessed be God, is that what God has done already? Is that the already done work of the Father? Hallelujah. The work is upon a fulfilled activity. A fulfilled activity. Observe, he says, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ. So it's a fulfilled activity in Christ. The well-speakings of God are upon a fulfilled activity of God in Christ. You will see that work in verse 19 and then to verse 23. What is that work? The work, hallelujah, in verse 19 to 23 is that is a working of his mighty power. The work is by the working of his mighty power. Hallelujah. The work is by the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. So the well speaking of God concerning the believer is based on the fulfilled work of God in Christ by the working, hallelujah, of God's mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Right hand is an Exodus word. Are we together? Exodus language. It is far above all principality and power, the might and dominion and every name. Now when it says principality and power, might and dominion, Exodus language. Every name that is named, Exodus language, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet. Genesis 1, Exodus language also. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So he talks about Christ occupying the highest position in heaven and on earth. Then it says the church with him, or the church in him, has his what? His body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. How? In chapter 2 verse 4 to 6, God who is rich in mercy. So Ephesians 1 verse 19, the working, hallelujah, of his mighty power, hallelujah. Look at this, chapter 2 verse 4 is an expression of his mercy. So the working of God's mighty power is an expression of God's mercy, hallelujah, and great love wherewith he has loved us. The working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, what was in activity? The mercy and the great love of God for us. Why? Because when we were dead in sins, through that working of his mighty power, he did what? He quickened us up together with Christ, and this is a work of grace. You have grace, you have love, you have mercy, the same thing. Grace, mercy, love, the same thing. In verse 5, he says, verse 6, he says, and has raised us up together. Oh, so Ephesians 1:19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Oh, he says to us what? The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. So look at this. It was wrought in Christ, but it was towards us. Hallelujah. What was done in Christ was in view of you and I. Glory to God forevermore. What God did in Christ, an act of his mercy. What other word was used there? Grace, right? Another word? Great love. Glory to God. Great love. Great love. Mercy. Love. The working of God's mighty power, which was wrought in Christ, hallelujah, was a demonstration of God's love, was a demonstration of God's mercy to us, what? Who believe. He says he raised us up together and made us to sit. So in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He says, when he raised him from the dead, he raised us up together to verse 6. I'm reading 2 verse 6 into 1 verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead, he raised us up together. Hallelujah. When he raised him from the dead, he raised us up together and made us to sit together which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Hallelujah. So the right hand is the heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1:19, Ephesians 2:5-6. In verse 8, for by grace are you saved, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when it is not of works, no, it is of works. But not of your works, it is God's works. Hallelujah. So it was a walking, because you already see walking, right? Right? You already see walking. So when it comes to that, it says not of works. Those two different Greek words, you already see walking. So there is a walking. So when it comes to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 9, and it says not of works, definitely, he's saying not of your works. Hallelujah. So it is grace to you, so it is not of your works, but it is by his works. Praise the Lord forevermore. I say praise the Lord forevermore. That's it. So he calls it grace. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are his workmanship. So it is his work, not your works. So when it says not of works in verse 9, it is not your works, not of your works, it is his works. We are his workmanship. We are products of his work created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which he had ordained before that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's it. So those who have believed the gospel have been made to sit together with Christ. We are in Christ. And that is where the blessing is. In Christ. Now he says, all spiritual blessings. The word spiritual is the word pneumaticos. Pneumaticos. Pneumaticos is spelled P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. I'll take it again. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. Pneumaticos. Hallelujah. Was used 21 times in the New Testament books. It is used to refer to what is of the Spirit, what is by the Spirit, or what is in the Spirit. Look at this. Pneumaticos speaks of what is of a spiritual origin, what is spiritual in nature. Hallelujah. What is spiritual in nature. And Paul used it most of the times. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Romans 1:11, it was used for the gift of the Spirit. Gift of the Spirit. Romans 15:27, the things of the Spirit, referring to the ministry and persons in the gospel. The ministry and persons in the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, I expect you to go and read those texts. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it was used to refer to the information of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, rather, verse 13, information of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Teaching the believers the things he already has. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it was used for men of the Spirit, believers, men who have the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, again it was used for men of the Spirit. Men who have the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 9:11, it was used for things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They minister spiritual things. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 3, it says spiritual meat. He also said spiritual drink. What we can call an aorist statement. It says, we know that as many as were baptized by Moses, hallelujah, were baptized into the what? Into the sea. Is that what he said? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, baptized under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Hallelujah. It says, we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. Now, obviously, they did not eat spiritual meat or spiritual drink. Are we together?
but they ate a physical meat and drank a physical drink, are we together? So that they could eat the spiritual. He's showing you that what Moses did for them, hallelujah, was to give them the naturals so that they can participate in the spiritual. Are we together? Are we together? So it's an outward statement. When he says they ate of spiritual meat or drank of spiritual drink. No. Rather, Moses gave them the physical drink, water, the spiritual meat, physical meat rather, so that they can partake in the spiritual, which is the gospel. Some did, some did not. Are we together? Are we together? So meat and drink there is figurative of the ministry of the gospel that they were to participate in, having received those miracles. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it was used for gifts in the spirit. Pneumaticals. In 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 1, it was used for men, verse 2 rather, speaking was also used for the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 was used for the gift of the Spirit. These are spiritual. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Things of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. Are we together? In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, I said it was also used for gifts of the Spirit, right? Right? Expressions of the Spirit of God amongst and through the saints. Expressions of the Spirit of God through and among the saints. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 44, it was used for the body of the Spirit. Body of the Spirit. What Peter said in 1 Peter 1 verse 4, an inheritance that has been reserved for us in heaven. Talking about a body, powered, sustained, solely by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Why? Because this body we carry now receives its sustenance within itself. Are we together? Are we together? But now he's talking about a body whose sustenance, hallelujah, all the activities of the flesh will be sustained by the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:46, the same thing. Body of the Spirit. Go over those texts. Ephesians 5:19, it was used for songs by the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Songs by the Spirit. This will be singing in tongues with the interpretation. Interpretation of tongues is also songs by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:12 is used for wickedness of the Spirit. Wickedness of the Spirit. That's what I mean by spiritual wickedness in high places. Wickedness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Why is it wickedness of the Spirit? Because it is wickedness by the spirit of this world. How do we do that? It is a set of activities against the gospel. It is activities and inspiration against the gospel. Inspiration of this world against the gospel, the preaching of it, the message, the men in the gospel. So it is called the wickedness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:9 is used for, it says, spiritual wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Understanding of the Spirit. Understanding of the Spirit. Glory to God. Understanding of the Spirit. So in Ephesians 1:3, when it says spiritual blessings that will not be material, that will be what? Not be physical, it will be in the Spirit. So, heavenly places. Again, the word ouranos or epouranos, which means what is unseen, what is in the Spirit, what is not of a physical location, what is spiritual in nature, what is in Christ.
Hallelujah. So if it is in the Spirit of God, it is in Christ. If it is in Christ, it is the Spirit of God. So God's blessings, hallelujah, are found in Christ. In Christ, therefore, becomes the location of God's supply. In Christ, therefore, becomes the site of God's working power. The site of God's project, hallelujah, on the earth is in Christ. In Christ is the site of God's project on the earth. The source, what we can call a distribution center of God's power on the earth. Hallelujah. In Christ becomes the fountain of God's healing stream to the nations of the earth. A fountain of God's healing stream to the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Moses explained right there in Eden. He mentioned how that from the garden you see a river with four heads and flowed into the nations. A figurative expression of the plan of God becoming a source of healing to all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. The rivers from Eden by which the earth is watered, by which the earth is healed, by which the earth is restored. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when God said to Abraham, when he says be fruitful and multiply, he was talking to man in his image. So be fruitful and multiply. Are we together? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Man will not be fruitful and multiply because God said it. What God created itself, are we together, will be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful, it will multiply. What God created. So what was the essence of, and God blessed them? God simply affirmed, just like we've seen before, the nature and the character of what he has done. Be fruitful and multiply is in itself, are we together, a statement of the revelation of God's intention about his work. A statement of what? The character of what God has created. Is it clear? That statement, be fruitful and multiply, is a statement that expresses the character of what he has created. It will not just multiply now because he has said it. He made an affirmation. He declares. He speaks verbally the character of what he has done. So the work in his nature, are we together, will fruitful and multiply. Is it clear? Is it clear? But that reveals to the work, which is man, God's intention for the work. You know, that's something that has become revelation to us today. Right? But observe that that revelation is telling us our character in Christ. Is it clear? Is it clear? We are not going to be fruitful and multiply when we read that text. Is it clear? We are not going to be fruitful and multiply just because it's been said. What God created, a character in it, an inherent ability, are we together, is that it will what? That statement comes to you and I today as a revelation of God's intention for his work. So God simply declares his intention. Are we together? Not that he created something that is weak. Is it clear? Is it clear? Not that he created something that is weak. Now say, I now empower you. No. What he created is subduing. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? What he created will multiply. Is a character. So saying it is not to make it. Saying it is to declare what he has done. That's why we said, says Moses said he blessed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Moses said he blessed. Now let me begin a round off for today. So in Ephesians 6, quickly. Ephesians 6 verse 10. It is finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I am strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Say, I am strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I am strong in the Lord. He says, and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Observe in Ephesians 1:19. He had already said, you are in Christ. Isn't it? Isn't it? He also said that the power is where? The working of His mighty power when He raised Him from the dead. So the power is also at work where? In Christ. Are we together? Are we together? In Ephesians 1:3, he says that the spiritual blessings are where? In Christ. So everything of God is where? In the anointed in Christ. All that is of God is what? In the anointed in Christ. Are we together? That's what it means by in Christ. In the anointed. So in Ephesians 6:10, what does it say? It says, be strong. Can we say, so when it says in the Lord, can we say, now, who is the Lord? Is that Christ? Church? Is that Christ? Has He already said that is where you are in? So when it says be strong in the Lord, could it be also saying, or can we say, Paul said, be strong on who you are in Christ? Right. So be strong on who you are in Christ. What does it mean? Look at this. Be big on who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be big. Look at this. The Spirit of God is loud on who you are in Christ. Also be loud. Hallelujah. See, I'm loud. See, I'm big. What does it mean to be big? On it. Focus on it. Are we together? What does it mean to be big on it? Keep it in your consciousness. What does it mean to be big on it? Have a kind of attitude that is inspired because of who you are in Christ. Have a kind of attitude, hallelujah, to things inspired by the knowledge, inspired by the revelation of who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look at this. Be big on who God has made you in Christ. Be big on it. Focus on it. Let nothing shift your gaze off all that God has made you. Are we together? So Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Say, I'm strong. Hallelujah. So it's a charge on your attitude to your identity. a charge on the believer's attitude to his possessions, hallelujah, and his abilities. See, I have an identity in Christ Jesus, and I'm loud about it. Say, I have possessions in Christ Jesus, and I'm big about it. To be big about it means you don't keep quiet about it. Don't keep quiet about it. Hallelujah. Look at this. You will not keep quiet like David didn't keep quiet. Guy never kept quiet. Stood before Goliath. Moses stood before Pharaoh and the magicians of Egypt. Hallelujah. And he was big on his abilities in God. Are we together? Now that's what resides in the believer. Praise the Lord. So it's a charge on my attitude to God's work in me and God's work through me today. Hallelujah. The church of Jesus Christ is expected to be loud. Hallelujah. On the inward working of the Father in redemption. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. Like an army. Amen. Those guys never shot their leaves before Jericho. Just like Elijah coming back from Jordan. Are we together? And he stood before the river and he knew the next thing to do is to speak. He was big on what he just received. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You must learn to be loud. Hallelujah. On the things that are yours in Christ. Glory to God. Look at this. What does it mean? It means to make a big deal of what Christ has done in you. Make a big deal of what Christ is doing to you. Hallelujah. Be loud on it. Say, I'm loud. Be loud on it. Say, I'm loud. Look at this. In Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, Ephesians 6, Paul explained what Christ has done in you as the love of a father. In Ephesians 2, he says, great love. So in 5, 1 and 2, ending chapter 4, 32, down into chapter 5, verse 2, he now instructs to love as well. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He instructs to love as well. In 1, verse 3 and 13, he says, you have received the Spirit. Hallelujah. In 5, 18 and 19, he now says, be filled with the Spirit. So what I have received as salvation is also mine to walk in. What I've received as salvation is mine to put to work. Say, I put to work. Hey. Say, I put to work what I have received. Be strong in the Lord. It would imply to put to work what you have received. Hallelujah. How? He spoke about love work in 4, 5, and 6. He spoke about honesty and faithfulness. He spoke about commitment to the saints. He spoke about faithfulness. He spoke about being filled with the Spirit. He spoke about the work of the ministry and serving God. He spoke about walking in the will of God, having known it. He spoke about walking as light, reflecting the Father. He spoke about forgiveness. Hallelujah. He spoke about prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He spoke about your words and your conduct. Putting away wrong words. Putting away strife and malice. Glory to God. When I'm doing this, what am I doing? I am being strong in Christ. Hallelujah. So he says, upon the strength of all this, Ephesians 6 and 10. Be strong. Be strong. So Paul prays again in Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 16. He says, the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, hallelujah, Ephesians chapter 3 now, and then in verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whole family in heaven and earth is named. He says that they will grant you according to the riches of his grace, verse 16, riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, hallelujah, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. They learn the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth what? Knowledge. That ye might be filled with what? The fullness of God. Verse 20. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. The same words used in chapter 1, verse 19. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. What does that mean? That means what beats imaginations. Now, Paul is not talking about God. Look at this. Giving you a car when you ask for a bike. You say, oh, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. That's not what Paul was talking about. Hallelujah. Paul is not saying that when you ask for a role of a job in a company, God now makes you the MD. Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. That's not what Paul was talking about. When he says exceedingly abundantly above, don't disconnect that text from chapter 1. The things that God did exceedingly abundantly above human mind is the work of salvation. Hallelujah. So he says that having fulfilled the work of salvation, with that same power, he's able to strengthen you. Hallelujah. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. We have seen Ephesians 1:19, walking of his mighty power, when he raised him from the dead. We have seen Ephesians 2:5-6, talking about how he raised us up together and made us together with him in heavenly places. Verse 10, it says we are his workmanship. 3 verse 20 now, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Hallelujah. He says, according to the power. What did we read about the power before? He said that power raised us up from the dead. According to the power that worketh in us, what has that power done? Raised us up from the dead. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Paul is dealing with what has happened. So when he says unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, look at this. The proper translation should be unto him that has been able to do. Are we together? Because it's dealing with the past tense work. Oh, very similar to Acts 20:32. I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which has been able. Did you get that? To give you an inheritance. Not which is able to, which has been able to give you. So the same thing here, unto him that is able to do, that has been able to do, that's what it implies, that is able to do exceedingly abundant. So what is the exceeding abundantly thing, exceedingly an abundant thing that he has been able to do, or that he is able to do? Raised us up together and made us what? Sit. Did you get that? The resurrection of Jesus and of the church in Christ is the exceeding abundant thing. Are we together? That God is able to do. Did you get it? Did you get it? So the power in Ephesians 3:20 is in the church. The power is in the believer. Who you are in Christ. Ephesians 6:10 therefore is saying to take advantage of who you are, what you have, and what God is doing through you, set to do through you today. Praise God. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of God's work. He supplies, Ephesians 1:3 to 13 and 14. Hallelujah. Take advantage of it. Are we together? He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That word strong, let's observe a little bit more, should have been translated strengthened. It is the word endunamo. Endunamo is spelled E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O-O. E-N-D-U-N-A endunamo. M-O-O. It means to be strengthened. Hallelujah. Look at this. Look at this. It means to put on strength. You know what it looks like? It looks like this. I know these Yoruba movies where this old Yoruba one, not this one that doesn't know, that is mixed with Chinese movie and all that. The real Yoruba movie, the real one. Huh? That girl? What that girl? Huh? They said they are going to what? They will now wear, you know, they have this garment they put on. Huh? They call it, what they call it? Yashoja or something. That they put on, right? He has all these, you know, first of all, Yoza is not well sewn. He's sewn in a very rubbish way. Because that's the way, you know, it must not make sense to the mind. That's supernatural. So they now put cowrie, right? Cowrie. Huh? Chicken feather, thank you. You watched it. They put chicken feather and all that. So look at this. Now, observe that the guy is going to war, right? 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 Going to war, right? Even though you observe that, it's a lie. Those things don't work. Himself does not know whether he'll be back. That's after they have finished the movie, observe that many of them did not go back home. They died at the war front. They're already scared. That's why they walk like this. You understand? That's how they're walking. And then you now have someone with gun at the background. Oh, guys, we want to go and fight. Just, should we get you a bike so that you get there early? Should we bring a car so that you get there early? And he will not come back home. Hallelujah. But look at that. The same way that guy doesn't show up in battle without it. Are we together? You know, sometimes they'll show the movie and then maybe he's caught unawares. As one man just, I think there's this thing there that they point to each other. They just point to each other. So as they point to each other, then he will just disappear. And he will disappear into his powerhouse to quickly wear it. So look at it. That scenario where you put on. Because look at the next verse, verse 11. What did he say? What did he say? Put on the armor of God. Hallelujah. But look at this. What he calls the armor of God. Hallelujah. Don't forget where we're coming from. Is where? In the Spirit. And where is the Spirit? The Spirit is in the believer. So you don't have to go and put that thing on you as though it's away from you. Hallelujah. Keep it on always. In the believer. In the Spirit. And dunamo. You see that word used 9 times in 8 verses? Was it in Acts chapter 9 verse 22? Acts 9, verse 22. And Dunamu. Acts 9, 22. And Saul increased the more in what? Strength. Confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that he, that this is very Christ. Increased more in strength. And dunamo is used for what you do. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4 and in verse 20. And dunamo is used for your own responsibility. Romans 4 verse 20. Spoke about Abraham. Verse 18, we again all believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, consider not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was strong in dunamo. Ephesians 6:10, our text. Be strong in dunamo. In Philippians 4:13, Philippians chapter 4, and then in verse 13. Hallelujah. He says, I can do all these things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Now, if you read in context, you observe, he was talking about how to be what? Abased. And how to what? Abound. How to keep preaching and teaching and serving the Lord. Hallelujah. No matter the economy. As such. No matter what he's able to enjoy in the natural or not. He says, I have learned. Hallelujah. I know. In verse 11, he says, I have learned to be content. So again, it's something he does. Verse 11, verse 12, I know. Verse 12, I know. Verse 12, I am instructed. Hallelujah. So he says, I can do. So look at it. The activity rests with Paul. Are we together? Because look at this. Look at this. I'm showing you this what he does. Because when you read, Christ has strengthened me, you now look as though Christ is the one doing it. Paul is talking about his ability to abide in serving the Lord despite material lack. Are we together? Now, is it possible Paul had decided not to preach again? But would that imply Christ never strengthens him? No. Did you get it? So through Christ that strengthens me, hallelujah, Paul is still referring to how that he is the one, amen, 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 he is the one who does what? He is the one who chooses to walk in contentment, even though, hallelujah, Christ is the one who makes that available. Are we together? Are we together? Now, is that, does that go in line with what we have been looking at? Okay. So, the supply is of God. Hallelujah. But you and I will take advantage of it. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 1 and then in verse 12. You will see the same thing. 1 Timothy 1 and then in verse 12. 1 Timothy 1 and then in verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for he had counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. He has enabled me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But Paul has chosen to walk in that enablement, in that Paul is now in the ministry. Is it clear? So he's not talking about what somebody pushes at you. Rather, he's talking about what you take advantage of, because another has provided it. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in what? Grace there means supply. Be strong, so again, it is what you do. Hallelujah. God has made it available. I am not the source of it. God is the source of it. Christ is the source of it. By his spirit, is made available in Christ, but I will take advantage of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. I say glory to God. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be known. It does not mean that if I did not preach, the Lord did not strengthen me. Did you get it? So yes, the strength came from the Lord. I put on the strength. Are we together? Are we together? In Hebrews 11 and verse 34, it says, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of a sword, out of weakness were what? Strengthened. That's what made strong. They were strengthened out of what? Weakness. Talking about Joshua and the likes. Gideon, Jephthah. Are we together? Are we together? Barak. Talking about Samson, David also, and the prophets. Glory to God forevermore. So the power is in the believer. But you are going to make use of it. I'm going to make use of it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm going to make use of it. Where are the other instances where we see similar words? We see that in 2 Corinthians 10. Glory to God forevermore. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. The weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. We examine this text as we go on. We'll see again in Jude 3. How did they put it in Jude 3? Hallelujah. In Jude 3, how did they put it? Jude verse 3. It says, contend earnestly. Contend. Hallelujah. How did James put it? James 4. James chapter 4. In verse 7. Before me I close. It says, resist. Did you see that? Resist the devil. In 1 Peter 5. Verse 8. What did he say? 1 Peter 5, 8. He says, what did he say? What's the word? Verse 9. What's the word? Resist. Hallelujah. Resist. So what do we see, church? These are words that deals with persecution, unfavorable circumstances all around the ministry of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 10, that's not persecution, but the preaching of the gospel, the influence of the message. And he uses that same tone of warfare. In 2 Corinthians 2:14 also, the same thing. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, he says, thanks be unto God who causes us to triumph and makes manifest the savour of his knowledge in every place. Again, a statement, a tone of warfare. What are we going to see as a study on church? We are in a warfare. Are we together? In 2 Timothy 2, he uses words like soldier, a man that warreth for the minister of the gospel, or for the ministry of the gospel, the Christian work. So he used the word fight. Himself in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. Wow. I've kept the faith. So he calls keeping the faith a fight. So we're going to see this language, this tone used across the epistles. Resist, fight, contend, war. Be strong. Be courageous. Be not ashamed. Flee. Are we together? Among some others. Are we together? Are we together? So there's a fight we will find in the epistles. I want to close this. There's a fight you will find in the epistles. Hallelujah. In the ministry of the gospel. How that the ministry of the gospel is a fighting. Walking in the word of God is a warfare. Are we together? And my part in that warfare is to take a stand. Now, he says, put on the armor of God. Wearing or putting on the armor of God deals with a public stand. Hallelujah. That means I will take a public stand with the gospel in my Christian walk. Hallelujah. An attitude of taking a public stand with the gospel. Hallelujah. So he says, be strong in the Lord, which is in the power of his might. I explained the word power and might to you, the word kratos, the word iskous, which means is the enforcement. So look at this. There's a reinforcement by the Spirit of God that has been made available to the church for the service of the Lord, for the Christian work, for the preaching of the gospel. Again, you see another word in Acts chapter 19, verse 20. So mightily greet the word of God and prevailed. Again, we talked about to conquer, and he uses that for the message. So look at me, church. The message, one of the first things we observe is that the message of Christ is in a warfare. It's in a warfare. Hallelujah. The message of Christ is in the warfare. He uses that word prevail again. The same word. Prevail. You know, he has said in Matthew 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail. In other words, I will prevail. Hallelujah. So it's a warfare. And he uses that for the establishment of his church in salvation. A word that the writer of Hebrews also employed in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. How Christ conquered death. So he says, the same way Christ conquered death. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The message is also, look at this, conquering. So there is a conqueror's power, there's a conqueror's strength. Hallelujah. That has been made available to the church by the Spirit. So he says, be strong in the power of his might. The word power there, the word might there is kous, which means efforts. I told you. That means that God has an effort through us. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. God has an effort through me. See, Ephesians 6:10 is you and I taking our place in God's power that is available to us and through us, taking our place. Hallelujah. So it says, increase in that strength. Be further established in that strength. Hallelujah. Be further strengthened in the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The Lord is Christ. Amen. And you are in him. So it says, be strengthened in him, in the supply, in the reinforcement of his strength. He says, be big on it. Walk in the resurrection. That's what he said. Ephesians 6:10. Walk in the resurrection. Walk in the finished work of Jesus Christ in you. Hallelujah. How? He says in verse 11. He says, you put on the armor of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:11. He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. He says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about the truth. He says in 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day. And having done all this, to what? To stand. Hallelujah. It means there's an ongoing work of Christ through me. There's an ongoing work of Christ through me. And I'm expected to take advantage of his finished work and walk through. I will take advantage of Christ's finished work and walk through his ongoing work in me. So the authority of the believer is for the furtherance of the gospel. Ezekiel Church, we're going to explore that in detail as we go on. Quickly, we see the supply of the resurrection in Ephesians 1:3. Verse 17 to 23, he says, I have my eyes to open to see it clearly. Ephesians 4 verse 1, he says, it's for me to walk in. Ephesians 2 verse 10, it's for me to walk in. Ephesians 5 18, in walking I have to be full of the Spirit. In Ephesians 6 10, it says, as my eyes are open to see the work of Christ, I prevail and I stand. Hallelujah. That means today, what am I doing? I am doing, look at this. Observe, he said, one of the things he mentioned, he said, the shield of faith. The shield of faith there, get the translation wrong. When we miss words, we miss vital truths. The word there is the shield of faithfulness. Hallelujah. Because the same word faith is considered faithfulness, but the context is going to show you. Ephesians 6, it says, we should carry on the shield of what? Faithfulness. That you will be able to quench. So the way you will be able to quench discouragement is through faithfulness. Hallelujah. So faithfulness ensures that at the end of the day, you what? You didn't go down. You didn't fall. You're standing. Say, I stand. So look at this. The same thing Jesus did. The same thing Jesus did. Exactly what Jesus did with death and sin. Hallelujah. In the grave is what I will do with challenges. Ezekiel Church. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the boundaries of where challenges come from. Against the gospel. Discouragement to the Christian walk. He says, no, you are going to put on the armor of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The same thing Jesus did in prevailing over sin and death, he says, you are going to do. And that you will prevail over challenges. Hallelujah. So be big on what Christ has done. Be big on the supply of Jesus Christ. Be big, take a stand on the indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Take a stand on the indwelling of the Spirit. Take a stand on the blessedness of the Spirit. Take a stand on your sonship. Take a stand. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. On the forgiveness of God that has been given to you. Take a stand on it. Then you will be able to do exactly what Jesus did to sin and death. You will be able to do that same exactly to challenges that comes your way. Challenges to the faith. Oppositions to the faith. Discouragement to the faith. Persecutions to the faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What have I told you before? That a look into believers' authority is going to keep our gaze more on the gospel of Christ. Because that is what the believer's authority is about. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. The ministry of the gospel. Are we clear together? So be big on it. Say, I'm big on it. He says, be loud on it. Say, I'm loud on it. He says, make a big deal of it. Say, I make a big deal of it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Make a big deal of your commitment to the gospel. Because it is the work of Christ on your inside. Make a big deal of it. Make a big deal of it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Don't let someone tell you it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. No. It's a big deal. It's the reason why I'm born again. This is the reason why I am born again. To preach and to stand by the preaching. To serve and to stand publicly with the service of the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Hallelujah. If I rejoice for being saved, this is why I'm being saved. I was saved. If I rejoice for the indwelling of the Spirit, this is why I'm indwelled of the Spirit. If I rejoice that I've been accepted of God, this is why I'm accepted. If I rejoice for being forgiven, this is why I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. If I rejoice for being God's workmanship, this is the reason why He has worked in me to work this out. Hallelujah. If I rejoice in His mercy and great love, Ephesians 2, 4, 6. If I rejoice in His grace, this is why I've received that grace. This is why I've received this mercy. This is why I have received of this great love. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I've been blessed this morning. I've been blessed this morning. Just bow your heads and just pray the Holy Ghost. Give Him thanks. We'll continue again from here. Coming Sunday. Just give Him praise. Just bless Him. Just bless the Lord. Lord, I thank You. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I love You, Lord. I'm grateful. I'm grateful, Lord. Lord, I thank You. My heart is full of thanks and gratitude. I stay strong. I stay strong. I keep my gaze on the work of Christ. I made a big deal of that knowledge, to learn and to know it and to walk in it. It's the greatest knowledge in heaven and on earth, the knowledge of God's work in Christ. What He has done, what He is doing, what He will do. I am grateful. He is our God. He is our Father. He is Jehovah. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.